Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025 The Game. Where the hell is Joe Retro?
He's here.
I don't see him.
Well, he's here.
I do not see him.
Well, let me do my thing and then you'll see him. Now you can see him.
Hold on. Let me see. Oh, hold on. I got to screw around with the computer. Joe Retro is here. By the way, our video streaming is on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to our friends at the law office of Amanda Gentry. Joe Retro sporting a very nice shirt.
Hey, thanks. You know, I was actually going to not show up so you could get like a forfeit W, which is like the only way you could get one. So, but I decided, what the heck.
What's up with the nice shirt, Joe? I mean, I watch, obviously, Robbie and Rex Road on the stream every single day. You know, because I text you. And you never dress this nice.
Well, I'll be totally honest with you. I wore a polo shirt to practice today and then got kind of sweaty. And so I took it off and then I just had an undershirt on. So I said, well, I better put a shirt on over it. So here you go.
There you go. Did you take a shower after you got back from your sweaty practice before you put your shirt on?
Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. That's
thanks.
I was actually wondering about Joe's hygienic habits. So thank you for asking that
question.
Yeah. No, it's been on my mind ever since I moved here, Joe. So thank you so much for filling us in.
By the way, I think that's a hint, Joe, that she was wondering because she probably didn't think it was very good. You know what I'm saying? Time now.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, was there a bad smell or something? Or?
Time now for Jared versus Joe.
Jared Stillman versus Joe Rexroad. Now on Stillman & Company.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
First up, currently the Titans sit at 16 in ESPN's most recent power rankings. Second lowest for the 2-1 teams. We talked about this yesterday, Jared. So, Joe, I want you to go first. 16 currently for the Titans. Too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's a little too low. So I've got to do my little rankings for The Athletic every week. And I think I had the Titans at 10 or 11. You know, I think that they're a play. I think they've demonstrated that they're a playoff caliber team. You know, I guess Seattle not looking as good last week. You know, these power rankings can obviously ebb and flow a lot, but I think they're certainly better than that in terms of quality. And I think their performance is right around that 10 to 12 range or so. You know, granted, now their week one performance was right around high 20s, maybe even low 30s. It was so bad. But I think the last 2 weeks, look, I think more of the win over the Colts, I know, than Jared does. I know the Colts were extremely banged up and are banged up, and they also played a team with basically none of its receivers and not without its starting linebacker and a starting safety and so on and so forth. It's a very banged up Titans team as well.
So I don't think that if you're a banged up team that you should get any bonus, right? Like, this is the NFL and injuries happen. And so a team that's banged up, oh, you know, like Carson Wentz is hurt. Well, Carson Wentz is always going to be hurt. So I think that we should probably kind of address Indianapolis how they look right now, regardless of, well, if the quarterback was healthy. I'll say this. I have always said, you know, be careful with September football. The Raiders, for example, in ESPN's power rankings are 5. If the Titans played the Raiders today, I'd take the Titans. If the Titans played the 49ers today, I'd take the Titans. If the Titans played some of these 2-1 teams, then I would take the Titans over them. But all you can go off of, and I told Caroline this in the last segment, I think these power rankings are, you know, who's your quarterback? How good were you last year? And what have you done on television? So the Chargers, for example, beat the Chiefs, and everybody loves their quarterback, so they skyrocket the Chargers into the top 10. Dallas is on TV, and they love their quarterback, so they skyrocket Dallas into the top 10. I think the national media doesn't think much of Ryan Tannehill. And I think that any time that someone puts the Titans down, it's really about that. And so I think the Titans are probably in like the 10 range, like Joe said, maybe even a little bit higher, because I do think the Titans are going to run away with this division. And I think that, you know, the top of the AFC, if Kansas City doesn't look any better, is certainly not out of the equation.
Next thing, Robbie and Rexroad talked about it. We talked about it. But Vrabel's comments on Julio, on Sunday night after the game, saying that you needed to see more against defenders. On Monday, kind of walking it back and saying, no, 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 it had nothing to do with Julio's performance. Are we buying or selling Mike Vrabel's backtrack on Monday? Jared, you go first.
I mean, I think once you say that we wanted guys in there to dig out safeties, you can't then go and take that back. And when you say that, it's kind of like, hey, we want guys in there that want to block. Now, Julio, to his credit, you know, Julio chased down the defender on the Chester Rogers interception. And if it's not for Julio, they may have scored a touchdown or gotten the ball inside the Tennessee 15-yard line. So I'm not questioning Julio's effort. And I'm not questioning Julio's blocking or anything. I'm just saying, when Vrabel said, you know, hey, Vrabel said that it was a precautionary reason that he took him out of the game. But then when he brought up the dig out safeties line, that was when I was like, it felt kind of like a pot shot at Julio. And while I didn't make too much of what Vrabel said after week one that, you know, blew up, I will say that it does feel like, you know, Vrabel has to, again, explain himself as far as Julio's concerned. And in this case, I don't think you can unring that bell.
Anyone who took that as him saying Julio wasn't blocking well, one, if you watch the game, he actually did block well, and he made the play that Jared said. So, you know, what he was saying to me was, you know, this is going to be a physical game. We got to run. They know we've got to run. I don't want him out there because of he wouldn't fill in the blank. But this quote from Vrabel on Sunday says this one little part, again, quote, again, we've been through these with players and their health. In other words, there's an injury and I'm not going to tell you guys about it. I'm sorry. And that's really the problem, because then we get into this, okay, was Vrabel proving a point? Does he think he's not blocking well? Whatever the case may be. But he really did tell us that with that little snippet right there. And then now we see he's out. He's got some kind of a leg injury. In fact, I haven't even seen the injury report yet, but he wasn't out there today. So the problem here is just that Vrabel won't go back on his own rules at times, because by not doing that, he opens the door for this other stuff. But do I buy? Yeah, I mean, I buy that this was about health and about not putting him in harm's way, and it was about nothing else.
Next, the Jets are currently a 6.5-point underdog against the Titans. Buy or sell this: the Jets will cover plus 6.5 against a Titans team without Julio and AJ. Joe, you go first.
Oh, I'm selling that big time, and it's an embarrassment for the Titans if they do. The Jets have some good players on defense. You know, they've got a defensive coach. I think he's actually could be a good coach for the Jets. They are utterly atrocious on offense. And look, maybe Julio, it's possible Julio could play. Let's just take him out. Let's say he doesn't play. I saw Marcus Johnson out there today running pretty well. We'll see. We'll see with him. I say that, you know, maybe Josh Reynolds has to come in. You got Westbrook Akina. You got Chester Rogers. I think Firkser has a good chance of being back. You have Derrick Henry. You have more than enough to go in there and thump that team by double figures. And it's really inexcusable if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I agree. I just, you know, I threw the fit after the fact that I didn't think they played very well on Sunday because I thought they played sloppy. If they play sloppy a fourth week in a row where they're turning the football over, they're, you know, dumb stuff from Tannehill, you know, if that stuff continues, now I got a problem. Now it's a real trend because the Jets suck. So if you're doing that against the Jets, I mean, people can convince themselves that the Colts don't suck. They do. But, like, you know, a win's a win in the NFL and a win's a win against the Colts. And a win, I don't care who plays wide receiver this week. I mean, I don't care if Jared Stillman and Joe Rexrow play wide receiver.
I'd like to see that.
I mean, they should thump the Jets. Now, I'm not saying they will, because I am, you know, nervous about the Jets, because I'm nervous about how the Titans are going to approach this game. And I'm nervous about the sloppy stuff the Titans have done. And I remember Cincinnati last year. And right now, the Titans are flawed. The Titans are sloppy. But they should go into New York, regardless of AJ and regardless of Julio and regardless of Marcus Johnson, and they should go in there and they should thump the Jets. I do need to go back on something with Joe, though, which is when he brought up the Vrabel you know, the what Vrabel said Sunday, when he just took out the transcript and read the part about, you know, I'm not going to get an injuries because I don't get an injuries because I would never get it. He didn't address the dig out the safeties line. Now Joe's telling me, if you watch the tape, you can see that Julio, I don't care what the tape said. We are discussing Vrabel's comments. And when Vrabel says, dig out safeties, we wanted guys in there, dig out safeties, everybody interpreted that. Did you interpret that as a shot at Julio's blocking?
Yes.
Chris Sanders, who played in the league, interpreted it as a shot at Julio's blocking. I interpreted it as a shot at Julio's blocking. So,
Do you still?
The dig out safeties line?
You still interpret that as a shot at his blocking?
I do not think that Mike Vrabel should have said that. And well, once you say Vrabel it, you can't should... once you say it, you can't unring the bell.
Well, sure you can. I mean, you know, once you have more information that Vrabel should have told us in the first place, then it changes the meaning of it. I mean, you know, we have new information now. So you can go back and look at that line. Here's the line. Okay, I think as this thing played out, tried to manage where he's at, understand what type of game we thought the end of the game was going to be, and those guys were going in there trying to dig safeties out. He didn't say we needed guys who can dig safeties out. We didn't need someone who can't dig a safety out. In fact, a week earlier, when we asked Vrabel about all the big plays Julio made at Seattle, he said, you know what I liked? His blocking. I liked him off the ball. So I understand the interpretation in that moment because he wasn't clear. This is on Vrabel for not just coming out and saying, yeah, there was the tightening of a muscle, and we decided that we're not messing around with that. That's all you had to do.
Right, like I can't tell what he's thinking. I can only hear what he says. And everybody except for you interpreted what he said as a shot at Julio's blocking, including Chris Sanders, who played wide receiver in the league.
That's not true. That's not true.
Your co-host said it today.
Listen, read what I read off the game. I said he left it completely open for interpretation, and this is going to be a thing. So, again, the new information, now you go back and you can piece it together. Okay, great. I mean, it's really much ado about nothing. I'm not saying that at the time I absolutely discounted that. No, not at all. I mean, again, Vrabel not being clear opens the door. Is it that? Is it blocking? Or is it, oh, Julio something or other pissed him off, and so Vrabel's going to prove a point? I mean, all those things are open because Vrabel doesn't come clean about the injury. I'm saying right now, though, how could you still interpret it that way?
Well, I just was asked, did he fairly walk the comments back? And I'm not sure he did. I mean, we're still talking about it on Wednesday. Your co-host didn't buy it today. Chris Sanders didn't buy it today.
Again, well, I don't know if he walked them back fairly. Information has walked them back. Can we agree on that? I mean, that should be pretty easy. Or do you think that Julio missing today is, you know, part of the ruse?
No. I think that Julio clearly, you know, had a tight hamstring, and he was like, you know, I can go back in there, and Vrabel was like, no, don't do it. I totally think that's the case. But the question was, did he walk the comments back effectively? And nobody was truly buying Vrabel, except for you. Nobody was truly buying Vrabel at his word on Monday.
Okay, fine. All right, yes. As always, whatever he says is gospel.
Switching to the college side of things, so Vols lose to Florida, put up a pretty solid first half. How much time are you giving Josh Heupel until he starts to be in the conversation to beat the Floridas of the SEC, the Floridas, the Georgias being in conversation for the East? How much time does Josh Heupel have to put the Vols in that position? Jared, you go first.
Oh, I think the one thing that, and I shouldn't say this works against Heupel, but I think one thing that has opened my eyes in the last couple of weeks is I thought Sam Pittman did a great job at Arkansas last year. I think Sam Pittman is doing a legendary job right now at Arkansas. Now, I think they're going to get blown out this week against Georgia. But as bad as that Arkansas team was under Chad Morris, to what they are now as a top 10 team in the SEC, it makes me think that if you're really an elite coach, which is all Tennessee fans want, they don't want an okay coach. Like where I went to college at Louisville, we can do 8-4. They want an elite coach. And I think that you probably know pretty quickly about an elite coach, whether or not they're elite. You knew Urban Meyer was elite pretty quickly at Florida. You knew Nick Saban was elite pretty quickly at LSU. You knew that Nick Saban was elite at Alabama when he turned them around in 2 years. You knew James Franklin, the job he did at Vanderbilt, was an elite level turnaround. I think that Heupel has got to be able to have them competitive and competent, which I did not think they were, including his coaching at the end of the first half. I think he's got to have them competent next year and competitive. Not winning, but they've got to be competitive. This has got to be a game in the fourth quarter that we think, you know, hey, if Tennessee makes a play here or there, or if Heupel schemes up a touchdown here or there, that the Vols can win.
So if Georgia just destroys Arkansas this week, do you walk back your comments on Sam Pittman?
I do not.
Okay.
Let me ask you this question. If Georgia demolishes Arkansas this weekend, which I think they're going to, does that change the great job Sam Pittman has done so far?
No, I think he's done a phenomenal job, but you have to be realistic about those particular, especially to me, Georgia. I still put Georgia in a different category from Florida, honestly.
Sure.
We'll see. We'll see how Dan Mullen does. I mean, he's a very good coach, but I still think there's a different level there. To me, I think by year four, you want to beat one of those teams. Okay. So let's go year four, win. Until then, you want to see gradual progress. I mean, the sad thing for Tennessee is, seriously, catch that pass, 24-21, the third quarter. I don't know how it ends, but I know that the heavily favored team at home in a rivalry game does not want to be in a fourth quarter game with the underdog. And that possibly makes it a fourth quarter game. I agree that they were too sloppy. I didn't like the clock management at the end of the first half. They're a long way away. And, you know, one thing to remember on Pittman, phenomenal job. He did inherit some talent. I mean, he really did. Don't shake your head, Jared. I mean, again, you don't like recruiting stuff and rankings. That's fine. But there is information out there that tells you that he inherited a talented roster. He's done phenomenal work with it. But for as much crap as Chad Morris took, he actually did some of the really what he was hired to do, other than, you know, he couldn't coach football. So it's not like Sam Pittman took over the absolute dregs and is now winning with it. He has done phenomenal work with a pretty talented roster. Josh Heupel has some talent too, and that's why he's got to like win games like Saturday at Missouri. I mean, he's got to win these middling SEC games with the roster he has.
Do you think that Clark Lee would have Arkansas? Well, I should say, do you think Sam Pittman would have lost 69-0 Saturday to Georgia if he was Vanderbilt?
Oh, he certainly could have. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he motivates them to lose 44-0.
That is a three-touchdown difference. Like, I know that it's like, you know, 44-69, who gives a rat's, you know. That
it was 62, just to be accurate.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I gave Georgia 69 an extra touchdown. You know, yeah, I gave Georgia an extra touchdown that they didn't deserve. My apologies. I think Pittman, like, come on. It's Arkansas, Joe. It's Arkansas. You're going to tell me that Chad Morris recruited well? He was only there for 2 years. How much can you recruit in 2 years?
This is just like your thing. Well, I mean, you better recruit well if you're an SEC head coach. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt, for all of the crap that went wrong under him, he came right in, and all of a sudden you got Henry To'o, and you got Eric Gray, and, you know, you got some guys who, well, of course, they're not there anymore, but that made a big difference on the field. You got to recruit right away, and he did. And I think Pittman's done a great job.
I do also have to say, if we're going to rank SEC teams, I think that Arkansas is a slight echelon above Vanderbilt, to be fair.
Not when he took that job over.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Oh,
come on.
Joseph, Jared, again. They were 2-10. No, you got look it up. They were 2-10. You told me yesterday when they said all SEC schedule, you thought Arkansas was not going to win a game.
I said between Arkansas and Vanderbilt, those were the two that I didn't think would win a game. But if you're going to look at programs, I'm going to put Arkansas above Vanderbilt.
Well, duh. Arkansas is one of the
resources.
Titles. I mean,
the resources. That's what she's saying. The resources.
That's what I'm saying.
The talent.
I thought you were talking about when Sam Pittman took that job.
No, I'm talking about programs.
Okay, I'm talking about when Sam Pittman took that job, it was as bad, if not worse, than Vanderbilt. If for no other reason...
I'm not going to say worse.
You have to play in the SEC West. So, you at like Vanderbilt is the worst of the East. Arkansas is the worst of the West. But the West is way harder than the East.
Mm-hmm.
And he succeeded in the West. And that's my point of, you know, I think...
He's having success. I wouldn't say has succeeded.
Well, I mean, what would you consider success at Arkansas? They're a top 10 team right now.
Yeah, so he is having success. So I'm not going to go ahead and say, whoop, yep, done, Sam Pittman, success, done, over with. He's succeeded.
It's early.
Oh, they give him a contract extension. So I think one of these jobs is going to come open, and I think he's going to be, you know, like you have USC's open now, and I don't think USC would take like a ball coach like him, but one of these jobs is going to come open, like Michigan or something like that, and I think you're going to hear his name, and I think Arkansas is going to sign him to a you know, 6-year, you know, $8 million per extension because they're so afraid of losing him. And I would have no problem if Arkansas did that.
As they should. But while we're on the topic of the SEC West, I have another one for you. Ole Miss going to Tuscaloosa this weekend, buying or selling. Ole Miss upsets the Tide in Tuscaloosa. Joe.
Oh, I'm going to sell that one. I hope it's a fun game. I hope it's somewhat like last year's game, which really neither defense was like had a chance in that game. It was pretty remarkable. Yeah. And look, I mean, I think Ole Miss is going to score some points, but I think it works out pretty well for Saban that they have the recent, Florida game for him to discuss and talk over with his team. And I just – look, Alabama has some issues. They got some things to work on. They got some young players at key spots. Ultimately, I think they're going to be there in the end, and I think they're going to end up pulling away in this game and winning by about 10, 14 points or so.
So I'm torn on this game, and I hate doing this. This is the one sport, though, where I feel like we have to because college football – it's so subjective and so few teams play each other that we compare. It's like, well, you know, should this team be 4 or should this team be 4? Well, they're never going to play each other. And they don't have any common opponents that really played each other. So, you know, this team beat this team by this much and this team beat that. I hate doing it, but I'm going to do it here. I was disappointed with the Florida Gators last week because the way that they played against Alabama, I thought that they should have never allowed Tennessee in the football game. And if Tennessee can hit some passes and not commit penalties and coach at the end of the first half, then I think the Vols would have been in a game in the second half with Florida. Like, Florida did nothing to have Tennessee have 9 players on the field for a punt. But Florida, what they showed me against Alabama was a team that I thought could beat Alabama. I've watched Ole Miss play once. And they absolutely demolished and embarrassed my team at Louisville. Now, I've watched Louisville play every game since then. I watched them beat UCF. I watched them beat a terrible Florida State team. Louisville is not good, but I think they're better than Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee could beat UCF. I think they're better than Tennessee. And that makes me think that Ole Miss with that offense, that defense will be good enough to get a couple of stops. I'm not sure Alabama's defense that couldn't stop Florida is going to be able to stop Ole Miss's offense.
So you're buying?
I said I'm torn. Because on the other side, Alabama's got the greatest coach of all time. And I do love that coach. Even though Joe Rexroad did not think Nick Saban was a good coach when he was at Michigan State.
No, that's not what I said.
I will say, what did you say, Joe?
Well, I said he wasn't the greatest coach of all time when he's at Michigan State. He was a 500 coach through 4 years. There were people who wanted him fired through 4 years at Michigan State. He goes 9-2 in year 5. He gets the LSU job. He's the greatest of all time, period. He had
people
to
wanted him fired.
Come a long way. And if you put
people,
Nick Saban.
People said they wanted him fired.
Well, Joe's a person.
Michigan State fans, I was people. Attuned to what they thought. Listen.
That's because you are a Michigan State fan.
Exactly. I got my Sparty little glove, my little foam finger. Listen, if you put Nick Saban at Vanderbilt, tell me like his first 3 years records right now. Takes over Vanderbilt this year. What's his record his first 3 years?
12-0, 12-0, 12-0.
Oh, please. Yeah, you are so full of it.
God, I have no idea. I
would say 2-10 year one.
Saban is not going 2-10. Nick Saban is not going 2-10.
At Vanderbilt?
James Franklin was 6-6 his first year. He took over Bobby Johnson's 2-10 team, and I promise you Nick Saban's a better coach than James Franklin.
A 2-10 team with 11 guys who went on to the NFL, by the way.
Because Franklin coached their real ends up.
You see 11? Oh, it was all because they got coached up, Jared. That's what it was. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, this Bobby Johnson, who never recruited anybody, you know, other than Jay Cutler. Bobby Johnson, you know, had one good team.
Go look at their roster.
had one good team at Vanderbilt. Jordan Matthews was a two-star player that James Franklin turned into the SEC Offensive Player of the Year. At some point, coaching has to matter. And I think Saban is a better coach. Go around the room. Who's a better
Saban's
coach?
The greatest coach.
Saban or Franklin?
Well, none of us are denying that Saban is a better coach.
If Franklin
can
do it,
Franklin.
Why can't Saban do it?
Well, but you have to look at the situation now. That roster is absolutely in a worse place than after the Bobby Johnson era. There's no question. And we will track the NFL players from this program that are on this team right now. It's not close.
People say, people.
Yeah, people.
Hey, I'll show you the newspaper articles from 1998 when Michigan.
The one that you wrote?
Nick Saban. Well, I don't know that I really wrote.
In fairness to Joe, I asked Floyd, like when they were coaching the Oilers together, I said, when you coached with Saban at Houston, did you know that he was, you know, and
different?
Floyd looked at me and goes, did I know he was a good coach? Yes. Did I think he was the greatest coach in the history of NC2A football? No. And I was like, all right, fair point. Now, Joe didn't even, you know, Joe said, you know, he was a 500 coach. So Floyd thought a little bit more of Nick than Joe.
Well, okay.
I'm telling you facts.
When it comes to Michigan State things, I think I'm going to side with Joe on this one. I think that I probably trust his Michigan State insight a little bit more than yours.
Jared Mason played on the team. He said he thought that Saban was a great coach.
Are we ready to tally?
Please do.
Okay, we'll go through our list. Titans sit at 16 in the power rankings. I'm going to have to go with Jared on this one. The list is just total BS, and whoever takes it as Bible, it's just a BS list. Buying or selling, Mike Vrabel's comments on Julio. I also have to side with Jared on this one. I'm sorry, Joe. I just don't buy anything that Mike Vrabel does.
Joe is the only one in the world who thinks what Joe said.
I just have to take everything with a grain of salt, and I think what Vrabel said on Monday was just him trying to cover himself for what he said on Sunday.
Also, I take all his words as gospel.
I'm not saying that, Joe. Jets will cover 6.5. I think we can all agree that the Titans need to thump the Jets. I don't think there's really anything there that, you know, we can disagree on. How much time do you give Josh Heupel? I have to side with Joe. I mean, I've said 3 years. Joe said 4 years. I kind of have to agree with him. I mean, I don't think that Tennessee is in any place to beat Florida and Georgia next year. Now, do you have to see improvement over those 3 to 4 years? Yes, 100%. But I think once you get to year three or year four, that's when you're really going to start to see things come to fruition. Also have to side with Jared. I think Ole Miss could get it done. I already took them plus 14.5. I don't know if they necessarily win, but they will absolutely keep it close. So, Jared, congratulations.
Oh, so thank you so much.
You have won.
I did not actually buy that Ole Miss thing.
But I don't know if I'm necessarily buying it either.
Because I mean, he's the greatest coach of all time. He's the greatest coach of all time.
But also, Saban's had down years before. To Joe's point at Michigan State.
Michigan State. You know, Saban's first year, they lost to Louisiana Monroe, and that was, you know, one or another. Joe Rexroad, we appreciate you. You have something you want to say, I can tell.
No, I'm very happy for you, Jared.
Your mouth is wide open like you are waiting to jump.
I was worried about you, and I'm glad that you got, you know, that Carolina was nice to you and gave you the W. That's
I just don't want to see any whining over here, Joe. I don't have any cheese to go with this wine.
I have to be 100% honest.
I totally hear you.
I think Caroline was cheating this one, too.
Why would I cheat this one?
And I think she's cheating this one, too. Because you know, because you've given it to him twice in a row, and so you know that I'm going to, you know, it's like.
So no matter what I do, I'm cheating. If Joe wins, right. I'm cheating. If you win, I'm cheating.
Well, at least,
I'm sick of this job. You know what? This is a thankless job.
At least I am, you know, consistent about how I want pass interference called. You know, I don't just want it called when I'm on offense. I want it called the way it should be called. That's all I'm saying. Joe, why don't you judge it next time
since you're the greatest judge of all time. Great.
Deal.
It's all on you now.
Joe, appreciate you as always.
All right. Thanks, guys. That was fun.
Joe Rexroad with us. Headlines with Caroline. We'll get to that coming up next. But I do just want to thank myself for having performed very, very well.
I want to revoke your Jared versus Joe privileges because I feel like you're not handling them very well.
Revoke them.
Yes.
What? I don't even know what that means.
To take them away.
No, I know what the word means. I mean, what do you mean by revoking my Jared? Like, I'm not allowed to be on the Jared versus Joe segment?
Correct.
On Stillman and Company?
Correct. I feel like it's going to your head.
You know what? If you want to just let me take 30 minutes off and just hang out and, you know, do whatever.
Joe and I will just chat.
Hey, if you guys want to do that, we can move it to 5:30 and then I get out of here, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you can go get happy hour if you want.
Do you want to see the Predators take on the San Jose Sharks at Bridgestone Arena Tuesday, October 26th? Head over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page. You'll enter for your chance to see the Preds take on the Sharks. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October 4th. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
You mentioned you're going to have a lengthy injury report. How are you at wide receivers?
Well, we'll see how we are today at practice. We'll see what they can do, and we'll go from there. We'll put it on an injury report after we see what they can do.
Mike, tell us about injuries. No. I think that's pretty
next
standard
question
at this point. Titans injury report, did not practice today. A.J. Brown with a hamstring, Bud Dupree with a knee, Caleb Farley with a shoulder, Julio Jones with a hamstring, Taylor Lewan with a toe, and Larrell Murchison with an elbow. Christian Fulton, Brett Kern, Roger Saffold, Tier Tart, all limited participation. Jayon Brown, Anthony Firkser, full participation. Brown did play on Sunday, but not much. Firkser has not played the last 2 weeks with a knee injury. Lot of money. Lot of money not practicing today on a Wednesday. Whether or not we should be worried as to what they can or cannot do. Elijah Moore has a concussion, did not practice. Jeff Smith, whoever that is, did not practice. Marcus May has been put on IR for the Jets. Jamison Crowder and Tyler Croft were limited. So who cares about the Jets? But there you have that. It is time now for Headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company. Right here on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Headlines with Caroline is presented by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave.
So the Bears have been in talks with the Arlington International Racecourse property, which is in the suburb of Chicago, for quite some time now, for a few months. And the Athletic learned today that the Bears have officially signed a purchase agreement for that property in suburban Arlington Heights, right outside of Chicago. So the Bears made the news official today. It's a 326-acre property for around $200 million. So it sounds like the Bears are prepped and ready to make a move away from Soldier Field and make their new home in suburban Chicago.
So when I went on vacation in July, I went down to Miami Beach, and we're, you know, my friend Caroline and I were we're hanging out with this couple down there that was from Chicago, and they had a home by the Arlington racetrack. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that they were praying that that becomes the new home of the Chicago Bears.
They could rent that out as an Airbnb for some pretty pennies.
Oh, praying. And I just said to myself, like, isn't it sacrilege for the Bears to not play at Soldier Field? And I would love to know, like, I just thought that was a leverage play. Like, hey, we'll go to this racetrack no one's ever heard of if you don't build us a stadium. And I figured, okay, you know, that'll get them to, you know, renovate Soldier Field for the umpteenth time, and that's what they'll do. And I never thought they'd spend $200 million to purchase a stadium, because I mean, you still got to build a stadium.
You build a stadium
if you do something like that.
Also, a lot of money and takes a lot of time.
And so I always thought that this was like a leverage play. I just can't see the NFL letting the Bears not play at Soldier Field. You know, there's a handful of stadiums that, like, I'm sorry, you have to play at Fenway Park. You have to make it work at Wrigley Field. You have to play. Like, no one cares if you have to play in Oakland, but you have to. You have to make it work at Lambeau Field. So if you've got to pay a gajillion dollars to renovate it, then you got to find a gajillion dollars and renovate it. But I just always thought Soldier Field was one of those fields that would last for forever.
And it has so far. And Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said that they are committed and they will continue to work to keep the team in Chicago, keep them at Soldier Field. But the current Chicago administration, owners and front office workers for the Bears, they're all kind of working for this agreement. But it sounds like, I mean, whatever Lori Lightfoot and the city of Chicago wants to do to keep the Bears at Soldier Field isn't good enough anymore. They've already dished out $200 million.
Lori Lightfoot. All right, what's next?
So ESPN has been working to determine who is the Shohei Ohtani of the NFL. Made representatives from each NFL team to
bring
their candidate forward for the best two-way player on each team. I was kind of thinking, I was like, this is an interesting topic to make when it's almost October in the middle of the NFL season.
ESPN and Fox are just dying for Shohei Ohtani to be popular.
Well, he is popular.
No, he's not.
Okay. Did you watch the All-Star game in the Home Run Derby?
I did not.
Well, you would have learned that Shohei Ohtani is very popular.
Here's my thing on Shohei Ohtani.
Everyone knows Shohei Ohtani.
Are people flipping on baseball?
I think that the popularity stopped short of actually watching Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, yes. Okay. So he's so popular that no one turns on the TV for him. Do you know 6 million people? 6 million people. So double like a normal baseball playoff game. 6 million people watched a 20-year documentary about Michael Jordan every single week.
Okay.
Every single week. That's so popular.
Are we saying that if you're not as popular as Michael Jordan, then you don't matter?
No, we're saying that if you're not as popular as Michael Jordan,
you're
not that kind of popular, then, like, you know, you're trying to make something out of nothing. The guys that you are worth watching are there. Brady is there. Manning was there. Manning gets a million people to watch him call a game. Like, he gets almost 2 million people to watch him call the game.
So consider Shohei Ohtani's talent. A once-in-a-lifetime type of talent.
He's
Babe Ruth. If there was a player like that in the NFL, let's say, could we compare him to Tom Brady?
No.
Why?
Because Tom Brady wins.
Okay, but I think that you're looking at
Babe Ruth won.
The popularity of the MLB versus the popularity of the NBA when Michael Jordan was in the NBA.
Michael Jordan won.
Okay.
How many games out of first place is Ohtani's team?
A lot.
Like, that matters.
Yes.
I mean, like, baseball, and I'm not saying they need to fix games, but baseball is like, they need Trout and Ohtani's team to win. Like, they need them to be good. Because they're trying so hard to make Ohtani like a TV, you know, like a must-watch thing, and it's just not there yet.
Well, as they should. He's a once-in-a-lifetime talent.
I know, but you can't make people like something.
Anyways, I'd like to go forward with the point that I was making. This is Headlines with Caroline. Thank you very much. So the Shohei Ohtani of the Titans, as determined by our friend TD.
Let me guess, Derrick Henry.
No.
Shocking.
Best two-way player, as determined by TD.
Oh, A.J. Brown.
Julio Jones.
Really?
TD says TD highlighted the way that Atlanta would use Julio as a defender, basically, kind of as a safety in some situations. So the 2015 game against the Bucs, Julio tracked down Kwon Alexander, who had intercepted Matt Ryan, tracked him down for 85 yards, tacked him on the field. So it's just saying that Julio could be used as a defender just as well as he could be used as a wide receiver.
Let me say this. TD must forget that hit Ryan Tannehill put on that dude from the Raiders a couple years ago. I mean, that we talk about the reckless stuff Tannehill does.
Uh-huh.
That was a hit.
Sometimes it's kind of cool.
That was a hit. I forget who it was, but ball got tipped in the air, and a fat offensive lineman thinks he's running for a touchdown, and Tannehill just laid his ass out. And so I'd have to go with Tannehill. What's next?
Manny Pacquiao, which could be argued the greatest boxer of all time, the only eight division champion.
I'll take Muhammad Ali, but if you want to take Manny Pacquiao, you can.
Only eight division champion in boxing history. He announced his retirement on Wednesday night. So the only boxer to hold world titles in four different decades. The oldest boxer to win a world welterweight title. He's been involved in some of the biggest fights of all time. 2008, knocked out Oscar De La Hoya. 2015 fight with Floyd Mayweather. I mean, completely shattered any sort of revenue record that boxing had.
But like, De La Hoya was an old peepop in 2008, and he was an old peepop in 2015.
Okay. Does it like take away from it?
Yes.
Why?
Because that Mayweather fight, like, Mayweather would not fight him when they were in their prime. I was very disappointed by the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. Very disappointed.
I thought so much money.
Right, but you have to buy it before the fight.
Yeah.
So you don't know how the fight's going to go.
Okay.
Just because you buy it doesn't make it
but
a great
the
fight.
The fact that people were willing to spend that much money and the fact that it made millions of dollars.
They all make millions of dollars. Canelo, Alvarez, Caleb Plant.
But Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather made the most at that time. The most money because people wanted to watch Manny Pacquiao.
So do we need to say that Conor McGregor is a great boxer because they made more money with Conor McGregor?
No. because that's not the only thing that Manny Pacquiao
but,
has
like,
done.
If we had to talk about
you
boxing,
are being so incredibly argumentative today.
If we had to, Jerry versus Joe, if you had to like take the best boxers of all time, the best boxers, and I'm not a huge boxing guy, but if you had to take the best boxers of all time, and you were to talk to these people that just love boxing, there's no way that the name Manny Pacquiao would ever be discussed before you would discuss, like, you know, Muhammad Ali and George Foreman and Sugar Ray and, you know, just all these great Mike Tyson. Like, no way that they would put Manny Pacquiao there. No way. No shot. He is, like...
What is your beef with Manny Pacquiao?
That he's not that... He's not Muhammad Ali.
Really?
But you're saying, could he be the best boxer of all time? He sold a lot of money on a fight. Right, but he's not, like, he is not Ali
Frazier.
He has Frazier.
Eight division champions. Championships.
Who cares about that? We care about the belt. We care about the heavyweight belt.
What do you care about? You just said that you don't even care about boxing.
I said I'm not a big boxing guy. I watch big fights. I'm not a big boxing guy.
Did you watch the Pacquiao Mayweather fight?
I did.
And you put money into it, so
I
you
did not.
Care about it.
I did not.
Well, somebody you know did.
I got invited to a party.
But also, he will now be running for the president of the Philippines. That's what's next for him.
And you know what?
He's going to win.
After the Thrilla in Manila?
He will 100% win.
After the Thrilla in Manila?
Uh-huh.
I think they'd take Muhammad Ali over Manny Pacquiao.
I don't think so. Filipinos love Manny Pacquiao.
They love Muhammad Ali when he brought the biggest fight in the world there.
They love Manny Pacquiao.
Those are Headlines with Caroline. Headlines with Caroline presented by Fiero Tequila, the world's spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave. Ian, where do you think Pacquiao, and I know you're not a boxing guy either, but do you think Pacquiao ranks anywhere near those dudes?
I mean, it doesn't feel like it's apples to apples because, I mean, he's not a heavyweight guy. You know, he needs to be in the heavyweight category to be compared to those guys, I would think.
He did it at like 110 pounds, and then he did it again at 150 pounds.
I mean, Manny's legit.
I'll take Joe Frazier.
Okay, then take Joe Frazier. Take him. I don't care.
How many like old-time boxers can you name?
Muhammad Ali, George Foreman.
Well, other than the ones that I've named them all, but.
Joe Frazier. Yep.
I'll give you any heavyweight boxer before 2010.
I don't know.
Like Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Lennox Lewis.
Lennox Lewis. Those were all on the tip of my tongue.
Rocky Balboa.
Okay. All right.
I was thinking about saying Apollo Creed.
Pump
that would get you to, you know, one way or another.
Pump the brakes there.
Caroline's is coming up next. 615-737-1025. Hey, my friends at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical are looking to take great care of you. There's no better time to upgrade your essential home systems than this month of September with my friends at Hiller. Hiller is offering you credits for your old home systems. Trade in your old HVAC unit and earn up to $15 in credits towards select new systems. Upgrade from a standard water heater to a tankless water heater and earn up to $500 with your trade. Trade up to a new electrical panel and earn up to $500 in credits with your old one. Their work is backed by the happy you'll be or the service is free guarantee. That's right, and I know it because I use Hiller at my home, and I'm telling you, they do a great job, seriously. Their technicians are continuing to take measures to keep you and your family safe and healthy on every single call. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Predators, Vanderbilt, and the Tennessee Volunteers. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today. Sounds in Indianapolis, Indians, follow us. Sounds Baseball presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. It's time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Caroline's is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years, and you can sign up at BetUS.com, mention game, and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. First, we've got Brewers at Cardinals tonight at 6:45. I'm going to take the Brewers on the money line, minus 103. The Cardinals have already clinched. They've been on a heater. They've done what they needed to do, and I feel like they can kind of take a step back a little
bit. The heater continues for the Cardinals. They'll never lose another game again. I'll take the Cardinals.
Phillies, Braves.
Braves get it done tonight.
I'm taking the Phillies on the money line. It is minus, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to take the Phillies. Aaron Nola is on the mound for the Phillies. Now they're 3.5 games back. to the Braves after losing last night. Five games left. If the Phillies lose,
they're pretty much done.
And I think the Phillies know that. So I think that they're putting their ace, Aaron Nola, out there on the mound. And I think the Phillies know that they need to win this game to keep their playoff hopes alive. So it could be the Phillies.
Max Fried last time out threw a complete game shutout against the Padres. I will take Max Fried and the Braves tonight. I think they get it done. And I think, you know, probably tomorrow the Phillies throw the towel in. But if the Braves win today, the NL East is essentially theirs, which is crazy to think about. Tell us about BetUS.
Carolines is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com, mention game, and you can get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit.
Sounds baseball coming up next. Josh Lindblom gets the ball against John O'Reilly from Indianapolis, where Jeff Hemm will have the call. That's next. We're out of here. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.